Here we are with my congressman, Congressman Richie Neal from the first beautiful district of Massachusetts. Richie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here. Thanks.
Delighted to be with you always.
Okay. So, Richie, let me start with the obvious. We've just, as we speak, heard the President of the United States talking in the wake of these two terrible tragedies. Once again, mass killings. To me, it rang hollow. I think, frankly, I'm interviewing you, but my response was, hey, listen, you caused it, you own it because of your rhetoric. What do you make of it?
I think the incendiary rhetoric that the president has used time and again during the last, actually, 4 years, including the campaign trail, which, as you know, is part of forming a government, has given comfort to those supremacists who have taken it upon themselves to use alternative internet sites as well as meetups to share their ideas. And I think that he has reinforced the use of that charged language to give, as I noted before, comfort to them.
What can be done? I mean,
if the president is really serious about this, and I think that America ought right now to be considering the idea that we've gone through enough of these moments of tragedy, and we have these moments of silence in the House of Representatives as we highlight another tragedy along this line, when in fact we could be doing something like an assault weapons ban. We could do something along the lines of more extensive mental health background checks. There should be registration periods, waiting periods where authorities have a chance to review the background of an individual. And this ability for people to buy these guns at gun shows without any intermediary reviewing whether or not their mental health is stable. I mean, in the case, I think clearly in Dayton, this individual was mentally unstable. And I think that the evidence will prove the same as we get to the El Paso individual as well. And I think in both cases that there have been some vetting or gun requirements for registration. I think that some of these tragedies might be averted.
Can we really do that? Can we really say, okay, there are so many people who are unstable that we can somehow get a handle on that and do something with them? And what should that be done?
I think we can do something on that basis. I mean, clearly, if you are not able to board a plane because you have certain convictions or you have a background that is questionable, that's one example. I also think just a waiting period from the time an individual makes the request for the weapon until the time that the weapon is purchased, I think giving authorities a chance to review not just mental health but criminal background, whether or not it's a spousal abuser. I mean, you have a lot of opportunities here, I think, if we would just pause, let's say for 10 days or 2 weeks, in which there would be a substantive review of the individual's background. I think that that would go a ways toward perhaps cutting back on these tragedies. I just think that, you know, here it is, again, the beginning of a week. We come off a weekend of this tragedies, and there's a good deal of hand-wringing, and people are pausing, I think, to reflect upon the lives of these individuals, recalling that there are things that you can do to keep the weapons out of the hands of some of these people. I've been reading over the weekend about these hate channels, 4chan and 8chan. I don't see anything wrong with reviewing by the authorities the contempt that is cited back and forth on these meetups and these opportunities for discussion. Clearly, the antecedent of what happened in New Zealand is exemplified by these hate channels, and I think that paying attention to that as well, monitoring that activity, makes a good deal of sense.
I think you have to monitor it, but here's the president saying we have to control the internet, basically.
That's
dangerous, right?
That is. I think you're right on that. I do think that we're not going to start suggesting, for example, that parts of speech have to be shut down, because the question there will always be who makes that determination, who makes that decision. But I do think monitoring that activity, I mean, you know, if you were at the site of a terrorist organization that was suspect in the United States, the FBI monitors them all the time. And I think that if you were part of a group that was committed to the destruction of the United States, I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they cite hate groups, and I think publicizing that is important as well. And I think that in terms of surveillance, there are all kinds of examples in the United States where those individuals who have threatened a president's life or threatened mayhem with the use of a gun, those individuals typically are visited and their activities are monitored.
Let me switch topics, although it's very hard to go away from this particular topic. You were once a young mayor. You had your own ambitions. Now you're being opposed by an obviously ambitious young man, Alex Morris, the mayor of Holyoke. I've heard you speak on this, and you say, hey, this is America, everybody has a right to run. Are you sticking with that?
I am.
What do you do when you're being opposed in a primary election? Do you downplay the opposition? Do you answer frankly and forcefully when you need to?
I think that you compare and you contrast positions that have been taken. And I think that certainly in this instance here, after a long congressional career, that my career is subject to that scrutiny in Congress. But corresponding to that, tutelage as mayor of Holyoke is going to be under great scrutiny as well. And I intend to forcefully point out time and again what I think are the discrepancies with which he purports to suggest that he has done certain things, when in fact I intend to challenge those issues aggressively. And this is not something I've done in the past, but I just think at this particular stage and juncture of the public debate that you have an individual who's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, what that means for economic opportunities across our state, our region, and the country is invaluable. And I think that for an individual simply to say that it's my time, well, then you're going to have to prove it on center stage. And I intend to make his record as the mayor of Holyoke a very important target of the things that he has said and done along the way. And I believe that there's going to be a substantial audience for it, not just in the 1st Congressional District, but in the city of Holyoke as well.
Can you give us some specific examples?
Well, yes, I can. I mean, I think that the idea that you would suggest that you're going to talk, for example, about public education and the Holyoke City schools have fallen into receivership. On April 1st of 2015, he requested a meeting with me. And during that meeting, he was looking for some wisdom from me about some of the issues that he was confronting. I said to him on that occasion that I thought that he should take on the challenge of resurrecting Holyoke Public Schools, moving them away from receivership, and to line up the necessary Chamber of Commerce types, business types, labor types in the city of Holyoke, and make an all-out effort to restore those public schools. And he apparently demurred. And I think that not only did he allow the Holyoke Public Schools to fall into receivership, but how do you explain that you missed half the meetings of the school committee when, in fact, that you're responsible for the Holyoke Public Schools? You know, during my time as mayor of Springfield, I visited every public and private school in the city, classroom by classroom. Not every school, every classroom within each school building, shook hands with those teachers, those principals, those students, met with them. It took me 2 years to do that. 30,000 children in the Springfield Public Schools. That's the priority that I attached to the responsibilities of being mayor and, by the way, ex officio chairman of the Springfield Public Schools.
And just to be clear, Mr. Morris is the chair of his school committee, yes?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, so you have education. Is there anything else where you're critical?
Well, I do. I think that the many of the arguments that he's made about growth in Holyoke have largely been based upon the work that I've done. I've been the champion of New Markets tax credits, and I don't think there's anybody in the Capitol or across the country who has watched my work on New Markets tax credits, for example, would dispute what I've just said. That means that the data center in Holyoke, the Holyoke Public Library, the expansion of the emergency room at Holyoke Hospital, and on top of that, an EDA grant to make sure that Holyoke Community College received money for their Culinary Arts Institute. I mean, I have been a force in the city of Holyoke time and again for economic development and growth, and I think that those are important positions, understanding that there is a partnership. And in the past, I have also had a role in many of the housing initiatives that has been brought forward. You know, Alan, I was able to save the low-income housing tax credit, the New Markets tax credit, and the historic tax credit. That, in fact, is not in dispute during the Republicans' tax bill rewrite. So I'm very confident that the influence I've had on projects in the city of Holyoke at least match, if not do more, than he did to make sure those initiatives were underway. I missed one meeting of the Springfield City Council in 6 years. I don't know that I missed five meetings of the Springfield School Committee in the 5 years I was mayor. These are important considerations, and he should be paying attention to the city of Holyoke right now.
You sound angry, are you?
I'm not angry as much as I think that there's a certain frustration that we all feel at this time when those who make this argument that somehow the esoteric and movements are what they want to embrace, when the truth is that your job as a member of Congress is really to make for successful policy.
Congressman Richie Neal, always a pleasure. My congressman, immensely pleased that you are with us, Richie, and thank you, because I know you are very much in demand right now, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.